This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. You know, if all you watch, listen to, read is the bad news of the world. You know, things are coming unglued. There's troubles, there's shooting, there's murder, there's hate. But there's another media going on in the world today, and that's what we're involved with. There is another news media, and it is what God is doing in the world today. If you're not hearing that, then you're only hearing one side of our life story. Today we have with us a guest visiting. His name is Mike Ross. He's a businessman who heard the voice of God. Yeah, he heard the voice of God. He acted on it, and things began to happen in his life and in the world around him. Things that are different than the same old humdrum news. News that he shares today is the miraculous, wonderful love and power of God touching our lives and changing the world. Here he is, our guest, Mike Ross.
Well, for me, my journey started when I was living in Northern California way back in 1984 when I was doing drugs and racing cars and I was insecure, arrogant, Northern California punk. What happened was the Spirit of God touched my dad's life, which was really crazy because he was dominating and eccentric and really didn't have much of a relationship with him since he was divorced from my mother since I was 5 years old. But regardless of that, the Spirit of God touched his life, and somehow in my heathen heart, I knew it was going to happen to me. So, sure enough, a year later, everything went wrong in my life, and my mom took me to a Christian missionary church, which was kind of a dead, boring church. I probably still think it's dead and boring.
Okay.
Nevertheless, at the end of the service, I prayed a simple prayer. I said, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me.
Oh my.
And immediately a lady came up to me and said, hi, what's your name? Do you want to meet some of the college kids? That was 1984 when I was 18 years old. And that led to my life having a total turnaround where I ended up getting all new friends and throwing out my pornography and my drugs and getting rid of my acid rock and roll and starting on a journey to seek the God above. And it's interesting because the Bible says that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And that's exactly what I mean when I was praying that simple prayer. God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. So I believe that any of your listeners have any kind of problem, any kind of challenges, troubles, sickness, whatever their problem is, they can pray that simple prayer, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. And I believe in getting to see it, if you draw near to him, he will definitely draw near to you. So I ended up having a total turnaround in my life, and more to the story than that, but since then I ended up traveling quite a bit and ended up in Northern California up to Anchorage, Alaska. And in Anchorage, Alaska, I ended up getting filled with the Holy Spirit, which was also another very radical change in my life. I had been studying the Bible with my dad, and we ended up seeking God, and I ended up dropping out of college, much to the dismay of my mother. But in the process of all that, seeking God, seeking the Lord, we ended up as basically heretics by the time 1992 came around.
Heretics.
Heretics, yeah, we were absolute heretics like that.
Okay.
And so it's Rodney Howard Brown, this preacher from South Africa, came to town and was holding these meetings. And in these meetings, I saw the move of the Holy Spirit for the first time. And I thought at first they were just being emotional. They were just overcome by emotions. But as I stayed and I watched on multiple meetings, I ended up noticing that those that totally abandoned themselves in worship, singing the songs and worshiping God, lifting their hands, would be the same ones that would get radically touched by the Holy Spirit some 20, 30, or 40 minutes later. And so I said to myself, well, shoot, I can do that. I started lifting my hands and worshiping, singing the anointed songs. I ended up on the floor. A man ended up putting his hand on my belly, and I was literally filled with the Holy Spirit, coughing up strongholds and being filled with the joy of the Lord on the floor, laughing uncontrollably.
Wow. Okay. Yes.
And actually, I had this vision when I was on the floor, drunk in the Holy Spirit, which was that I was walking down a hall with Jesus, and he opened a door to the right, and I went through the door, and there was thousands of people for me to speak to. So that vision sat in my soul for the better part of 17 years. And during that 17 years, at times I thought that vision would never come to pass because my life was a mess at different times, different challenges I had with marriages and divorces and so forth. But 17 years went by, and the day came when I ended up in Africa doing a large crusade with a bishop from Kenya.
Oh my, Africa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was a crazy situation where I had just went to Mozambique with my friend Steve Bergen that you know about. And that my friend of mine was talking about doing a crusade in Kenya. So I said, I'll just go along and support you, you know, just be your right hand man. So it turned out that he couldn't come up with any money for this trip to Africa on this crusade. And so I said to myself, oh, this is not going to happen. But the Spirit of God was telling me, no, there's going to be something's going to happen here, you know?
Okay.
On my first trip to Africa, what happened was I had just gotten out of a divorce that was an absolute mess. And I was staying in my ex-wife's house, staying with her mother-in-law. Kind of a crazy story, but I ended up remodeling their house for them just to stay in their house. And when I was praying, I felt the Holy Spirit releasing me to do missionary work again. Now, I've been tied up in this divorce situation for about the better part of 5 years, which was very heartbreaking and really put me on my face before God. The Spirit of God released me to go on mission trips again. And so I immediately signed up for this one I wanted to go to, which was a trip to a place called Pemba in Mozambique with a guy named Randy Clark who goes all over the world. And I was the last one to sign up, and my friend Steve Bergen was going on that same trip. So I made the trip just barely, got my passport, a new passport just in time. It was right down to the hour. And ended up in Mozambique with Steve and about 40 people, mostly Americans. And it turned out that they made me the leader of this, of the one of the seven groups.
Made you the leader?
Yeah, and they made me one of the leaders.
Oh, my.
Yeah. But that's a longer story about some of the things that happened in Mozambique. But one of the things that happened was the Spirit of God spoke to me, and I made a bamboo cross. And I took this bamboo cross to the street, Pemba in Mozambique, and preached Jesus with a Portuguese interpreter to the Muslims. And we did this. I did this 3 days in a row, and then he got saved, and the radical healing. A deaf man spoke, blind eyes were open, deaf ears were open, and I had a very, very powerful experience. And so I ended up going back to Tulsa, and I was telling you a moment ago about this friend of mine that was going to go to Kenya. And in the end, this friend of mine who kept saying that God was going to come through for him and God was going to give him the money for this trip. Well, in the end, he had no money whatsoever. So he calls me 4 days before this trip that we were supposed to go on together. Said, Mike, I'm canceling, and they're asking me if you would go. Because they promised that a white man will come to Kenya to speak at this crusade. So I got off the phone, looked up to heaven, and I said, Lord, what do you think? You want me to go to Africa? He said to me, you're going to Africa. So I called the travel agent about the ticket, and I thought maybe the price would be double or triple because it was only 4 days in advance. And they told me, well, let me take a look, Mr. Ross. Let's see, Nairobi, Kenya. That's right. Here's the ticket. She said, oh, it's the same price.
Wow. Okay.
So I bought the ticket, went on my second journey to Africa, and I didn't know this bishop. He could have been the Kenyan mafia for all I knew. You know?
Okay.
You know, go meet a bishop that I didn't even know. So it ended up that this bishop was the real deal. The Billy Graham of Kenya. He knew everybody, and he was a beautiful man of God. And so as in a place called Kitui, which is northeast of Nairobi, where they had not received rain for 5 years. And the place is absolutely parched now with no grass. The cows, skin and bone, they were going to crash because there was no grass for them to eat. He came bringing the gospel, believing God that rain would come back to the area when we brought the gospel. This area was also highly devoted to witchcraft, and the witchcraft was stopping the blessing of the rain. So the first day we showed up, it started to rain. And it was pouring rain. I thought maybe we would have some kind of confrontation with the witch doctor or something like that. But it wasn't the case at all. It just started raining when we came into town. And so it turned out that it was going to rain all day, and it was actually going to rain out our outdoor crusade. So we prayed a bold prayer. We said, God, we're asking that you would stop the rain so that we can have this outdoor meeting. And as soon as we're done with the meeting, we pray that you would make it pour with rain. So the rain stopped. We went outdoors to do this crusade in this place called Kitui. About 2,000 to 3,000 people showed up. It was a small crusade. And the bishop preached in Swahili, and I gave a couple testimonies. And then as soon as we were done, the people had received Jesus. We had prayed for the people. It started pouring rain, and all the Kenyans ran back to their homes. So then the next day, it had rained all night long, stopped in the morning. We did our outdoor crusade again the second night. And as soon as we were done preaching, it started pouring rain again. Rained all night long, stopped in the morning. I was doing the pastor's conference, actually. I was doing the morning pastor's conferences, and the bishop was largely doing the evening crusades. The third day, same thing happened. It was an absolute miracle that the rain did not come until we were done preaching the third night. That was pouring again.
Oh, my. Wonderful, wonderful.
And by the fourth day, you could see grass growing, new grass growing from the ground. Okay. I said to the bishop when I returned about 6 months later to do another crusade in a place called Machakos, which was also a large witchcraft area, I said, hey, bishop, what actually happened in Kitui? Did the rain continue? He said, Brother Mike, they had so much rain that they had an overabundance of crops in the area of Kitui. So that was my second trip to Africa, which was very powerful. And they started labeling me like Elijah or something, you know?
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So I ended up doing many crusades, Bishop. We did them in Tanzania. We did them in Burundi. We went to Rwanda and did large crusades. The first year I was there doing crusades with the bishop, Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, "Son, the hunger for God in Africa is a mile wide, but it's only an inch deep. You know, they're hungry for God, but they have very little understanding of what the Bible actually says." So he said, "Son, you need to start the Bible schools. Start Bible schools here in Africa." Now, that was strange to me because I'd never actually attended a Bible school, but now God was asking me to launch Bible schools. I'd never actually attended one. I'd actually never taught at one, and I definitely never launched a Bible school. And so, nevertheless, I went forward with what I felt the Spirit of God was telling me to do. And the bishop later told me he thought I was crazy, but nevertheless, we got together, three of his apostolic leaders representing 100 churches, and we launched the Bible schools, and we had 76 students the first year, and taught them 27 courses, 15 hours per course, on subjects like Christology, Holy Spirit, Old Testament survey, New Testament survey. And when these Africans were done with the course, they were so excited, like the most exciting thing they had done in their life. And they had an absolute party, like an African party, when we did the graduation. I mean, yelling and screaming. As a matter of fact, I went to a Bible school graduation in Southern California, and it was more like a funeral procession compared to these Africans. And just to back up a little bit, one of the things that happened when I was in Africa, like I was telling you, the hunger for God was a mile wide, but it was only an inch deep, was I would listen to an African preacher. He would stand up and he would read from one scripture, and then he would go off an exhortation because he couldn't link scripture to scripture to scripture to make a powerful message. And what the Spirit of God showed me was that in Matthew 28, it says in the Great Commission, teach and make disciples. However, in Mark 16's rendition of the Great Commission, he says, preach and heal the sick, speak in new tongues, baptize new believers. So one of the texts of the Great Commission, the one in Mark, sounded like evangelism, preaching the gospel. Matthew says, teaching and making disciples. So one of it was like, Mark's like catching the fish. Matthew 28's like cleaning the fish. You got to get them saved, and then you've got to disciple them. Both are critically important, like two sides to one coin.
Yes,
The Spirit of God was telling me we were doing the Great Crusades. Thousands were getting saved, but we needed to disciple the people and give them a good understanding of what the Bible's really talking about with 27 courses, 15 hours per course. Now, that vision the Holy Spirit gave me blossomed when another pastor took over the Bible schools, and now in East Africa, we've had over 10,000 students graduate Bible school. And that was all from a word, one word from the Holy Spirit about launching Bible school. So since then, I've taken 23 trips to East Africa, teaching at the Bible schools. I was just there a month ago. We did a lot of different styles of ministry. I went to a prison and spoke at a women's prison to about 250 female prisoners. I spoke at a Bible school for two full days. I spoke at a pastor's conference for a couple of days. We did street evangelism, and I spoke in churches. So we did all kinds of different kinds of ministry when I was in Africa. The whole gambit of different things you can do there. And I have an amazing team of beautiful Africans that love God, that set all the meetings up when I go, so I can just go from place to place to place and preach and teach the gospel. Such as when I was in the women's prison, what I did was I did a small and a small skit on Matthew 18, which is the skit of the unforgiving servant. So I have one person play like the king, and then another person be the servant, that's the unforgiving servant, whom the king forgives of a humongous debt. And then that same unforgiving servant goes to a fellow servant that owes him a very, very small debt, refuses to forgive him, and sends him off to prison. So I do this in the form of three people right in front of the Africans, a live impromptu skit. And then I tell them that the king represents God, and God is willing to forgive us our humongous sin, and not only forgive us of all of our sins, but also offer us the free gift of eternal life. And then I explain that the offenses that somebody else has done to us are like a very small debt. Yeah, a very small debt, no matter what somebody's done to you compared to the huge sin God is willing to forgive us of, is actually very small. And then the king says to the unforgiving servant that refused to forgive his fellow servant, sends him off to the torturers. And I explain to the people that the torturers are demon spirits, because when we harbor hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness in our hearts, we are opening the door to demonic spirits. And then it goes on to say, Jesus says, for if we do not forgive others, God will not forgive us. And I explain to them that we, as thousands of American Christians, going to church every Sunday, lifting their hands, paying their tithes, and yet they have bitterness and hatred in their hearts, which means their eternity is actually in danger. So then I get on my knees before the audience, and I say, you know, as a man, I know that many of you women are here in this prison because you have been emotionally, physically, sexually abused by men, whether it be your father, your husband, your brother-in-law, your neighbor, your cousin. You've been abused by men. So on my knees before these African women, I tell them, I'm begging you, as a man, forgive the men that have hurt you, and you will be set free. And then I lead them in a prayer, and I use testimonies from my own life about asking God for forgiveness of sin, forgiving other people, which in my case was brother that was very abusive, and then in my own case, for forgiving myself, the testimony of a girl when I was a teenager that ended up having an abortion. In 2 years, I spent in shame, guilt, and self-condemnation until I realized that if the blood of Jesus was good enough to forgive me for my sins, it was good enough for me to forgive myself. So using my own testimonies, then I lead them in a prayer to ask God forgiveness of their sins, and then to forgive other people, and then to forgive themselves. And much of the time when I do this kind of message, the women will be weeping and crying. The Spirit of God really touches them in a powerful way. One of the most powerful messages God has me bring when I'm overseas is the message of forgiveness. Okay, so since the time when I was first going to Africa, and I went 23 times to East Africa, I've also been going to many other places. One of the places is Honduras. We have a whole team in Honduras where we come and we bring food and we speak in churches and do ministry on the streets and crusades and stuff like that in Honduras. And then I have another group I go to in Mexico twice this year. Even just over a week ago, I was in Mexico, close to Mexico City, and I have a team there that has a very, very large tent. And this tent can hold probably 2,000 people. And so I preach Jesus inside this tent and churches and so forth. Very, very powerful, wonderful, wonderful group of people there, just beautiful group of people. And as a matter of fact, I have a tent right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma as well. My tent is not very big. It's only about maybe hold 250 people. It's set up right now in a park, a place called Johnson Park, right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I'm doing tent revivals here because it was about 5 years ago when the COVID thing hit that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, son, it's time to focus on America. And then I got this vision about buying a tent. So I ended up buying a tent. I ended up buying a trailer to pull the tent. As a matter of fact, I bought a diesel truck to pull the trailer and the tent. But what happened was the Holy Spirit said to me, son, I want you to do your class. And my class was a class called Saturday Soul Winning, which I've done on and off for about 30 years. And that's where I get a group of people together from a local church, and I teach them different forms of evangelism, such as carrying the cross. I built these 2 8-foot crosses, and we take them to the streets, such as street dramas. We do street dramas right on the streets. We did a lot of these in Southern California when I used to live in Southern California. And also things like going door-to-door. We do door-to-door evangelism, lead many people to Jesus, and more opportunities to be a soul winner and to be a radical, on-fire, Holy Spirit believer. You want me to go ahead for another 3 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, so one last testimony I wanted to say was that when I got divorced in 2009, I was on my face, very, very broken before God. And I said, God, I don't care anymore about houses, mutual funds. I had 5 houses I owned. I don't care about that stuff anymore, mutual funds or, you know, any kind of those things. I said, I made a commitment. I'm just going to spend every dollar towards your kingdom, every extra dollar I got. And as a result, in 2013, 2012, 2014, I went to Africa 3 to 4 times, each time planting my own money, sometimes $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on each trip from my own company. And as a result of doing that, in 2018, I came across an opportunity to buy a new company, a siding company. I have a company, it's called Oklahoma Siding. And I went ahead and bought this company for a measly $40,000. And now that company is doing $1.8 million a year. My point is that the scriptures is true when it says, give and it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing shall men put into your bosom. For with the measure you give, it will be measured back to you, says in Luke 6. And then in the Corinthians, it says, sow and you will reap. If you sow abundantly, you will reap abundantly. Proverbs says, the generous soul shall be made rich. Malachi says, if you give tithes and offerings, test me on this, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. So my testimony is that I spent $50,000 to $60,000 to $70,000 of my own money doing large crusades in Africa 3 years in a row, especially those 3 years. And that opened the door for me to buy a different company a few years later that is quadrupled my income, tripled and quadrupled my income. So it is a law. You know that if you drop your phone, the law of gravity says it's going to fall hit the ground. It's the same with the law of giving. If you give into the kingdom of God, it is a law. You will open up a door from heaven for God to give back to you.
Thank you, Mike. That was wonderful. See, there is another type of news going on in the world, and that's what we're here about, to tell you that wonderful news.
If you would like to get in touch with Mike Ross, our guest today, you can contact him at spiritandtruthmin@yahoo.com. spiritandtruthmin@yahoo.com.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.